This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The example of a man, a boy, a brother, a son, inheriting double of his sister when their father or mother passed away. The boy takes double of what his sister takes. What's the wisdom behind that? Who knows? To some Muslims, it's injustice. It's unfair, they say. To non-Muslims, okay. They know nothing about Islam anyway. But the Muslim to say unfair, do you know? Are you telling Allah is unfair? Allahu Akbar. That statement of kufr, by the way. You have to be careful. Never say, oh, it's unfair.
The son carry your name. You know, the son carry my name. When I die, my son will keep on carrying my last name.
Okay. That's in another, very good, that's a good point, but it's in another field. But why a son has to take two of his sister? Two parts.
Because he's going to take care of his sister.
Excellent. Because in Islam, the responsibility of taking care of the girl is on the neck of her brother until she gets married. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so wise that he put responsibility on somebody, he gave him more. You, for example, you. When you inherit with your sister, if your father left 3 million, 2 for you and 1 for her. 2, you take good care of her until she gets married. And when she gets married, her husband gives her dower. And when she gets old, her son is supposed to take care of her. So she dies a millionaire. While you... She's supposed to. Yes, that's their right. That's right. While you are spending right and left, not only on your mom, but on your wife, on your sister, on your daughter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to give you more. And only in this case, the case of brother and sister when they are sons of somebody and daughter of somebody. When you come to father and mother, when their son dies, it's not double. Brother and sister, it's not double. Brother and sister of the deceased. So, you see, people don't know nothing, and they say, like the example also of course, our sisters will never accept this, but I seek refuge to Allah that they even debate this. The issue of a man allowed by Allah to marry more than one. Up to?
Four.
Are you sure?
Five.
Up to four. Now, most people think Islam, there is wisdom behind it. Most people think Islam has allowed men to marry up to four. Who said that? Now, go back to the ayah in Surah An-Nisa that says this. You find it between two, this ayah is between two verses of orphans. وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ etc. And then, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ if you are afraid. Now you can, Allah says, you can marry two and three and four. And he stopped at four. But if you are afraid not to make justice, then do what? Stick to one. The point is, a person marrying up to four, let's assume, with strict conditions that if he does not fulfill, Allah will ask him in the day of judgment. Okay, fine. But what's the wisdom behind it? Why Allah has allowed that? Number one, before we go to the wisdom, when this ayah, brothers, was revealed, it was revealed in a moment where men used to marry up to 10. 10 average. 10 wives average. So actually the Quran limited. I want my sisters to know this. Because when I speak like that, people say, oh, he's man, that's why he's... No. When sisters defend Islam, it's beautiful, especially in this point. When our wives, our mothers, our daughters speak like this, when the Quran was being revealed at that moment, men used to have multiple wives. So the Quran limited. One. Second, when Allah allowed that, do you think everybody is living in peace? Do you know how many Muslim countries are in war? And you know what does it war mean? Means what? Orphans and widows. War means orphans and widows. Social problems. The only way really to keep the balance of the society is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed those widows to have a chance to marry men. Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine, Chechnya, Somalia, Sudan, Rohingya, Southern Thailand, Pakistan, Kashmir, Southern Philippines. Just to mention a few, look how many Muslim countries are in war. But because we are living in America and eating yogurt and this, we don't feel that. But if you are there and see widows, then this ayah becomes so simple for you. Only people who are sitting on charcoal feel that there is burn. You may see them and say sympathize, but you can never feel it. So my brothers, you know, sometimes as we say, there is wisdom and Allah knows what He's talking about. But we don't know. We don't know. When Allah says, for example, another topic, when He says, you cannot adopt a child. What does it mean by adopt child? You cannot give him your name. You can adopt. You can have a son or a daughter or many. Treat them like your own kids or more, because they might be orphans. And treat them well and give them and this and this and this, but don't give them your name. Why? What's the wisdom behind that? Allah says, "Udruhum li'aba'ihim." Name them, call them for their fathers. Like my brother said. If you don't know their fathers, call them brothers in religion. And they become your, under your protection. But do not call them with your title. It's very important. If you have a child that is under your name, please go and change it. Haram. You cannot do that. Why? What's the reason? What's the wisdom? Obvious wisdom. He may marry his own sister.
Yeah.
You call him, for example, Khan. And he's not Khan, he's a Siddiqi. He's from Siddiqi family. But you brought him and called him Khan. What's your last name, Najib?
Khodr.
You bring somebody from the family of... What's your last name?
Khan.
And call him Khudr. And then he thinks he's Khudr. And he goes meet the sister. And he is about to marry her. Jazakallah khair. And she wants to marry him. And she ends up to be his sister. Because nobody told him that you are not really Khudr. You are a Khan. And it happened. It happened, brothers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't. Second, he doesn't have right to inherit you. Up to one third. Only one third. Others inherit you. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Those who are related in you, to you in blood. Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, if you don't have children. But you can write up to one third. So there is wisdom. And Allah knows many things that we don't know. Wallahu ya'lam. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and we don't know. The point, back to our topic, is that you can see from verse 30 the beauty of knowledge. Allah mentioning in story of Adam that everything is based on knowledge. And that's why, brothers, wallahi, we have no excuse in the Day of Judgment when we stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, okay, why you didn't ask the Shaykh? And the Shaykh maybe used to walk with you or it was accessible. All you do, go to Salat Maghrib and Isha if you are busy during the day. Go and sit with him and ask him questions. Or university or anywhere. There is no excuse in the Day of Judgment that I didn't know. Because Allah said, no, learn, go and learn. But you didn't want. You were running after the green that you will leave after you. But knowledge, you take it with you to the grave. The knowledge, you take it with you to the grave. May Allah make us among those who realize the importance of knowledge. So we were talking about the importance of combining between two great things. And we ask Allah to give us knowledge and wisdom. And subhanAllah, the job of each and every prophet, especially our beloved prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last of prophets, was, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. It is He, Allah, who sent His messenger بالهدى, with the guidance of the Quran. ودين الحق and the religion of the truth يظهره على الدين كله, so that all ways of life will come under the way of life of Islam.